There's a an urban metro cowboy here.
I almost didn't want to hug him because I didn't want to wrinkle his shirt.
I know.
I'll see if he wrinkles him. He probably has a spare in his car.
He's one of those guys that carries it in his suitcase, in his briefcase, yeah.
Well, you know, back in the day, they used to, you know, before air conditioning, people would just change their shirts like three or four times during the day because if they get all screwed up, they go home and change shirts. Back in the old South.
This nostalgia kick that we started, or I started last night, about what it struck me that how many things that I was shocked at that everybody didn't teach or realize. And so Passover seems to be an appropriate time to review those. The biggest one is the one that caused the most hassles here, was that God didn't love the human race. But that this love of God was centered in His Son, in Christ Jesus. And if, especially Mr. Buckner, but there were others that violently objected to that. The other biggie is that eternity isn't a long, long time. It's no time at all. And we're still struggling with that one. Right, you were just testing me all those years. And that the gift of God is eternal life, that means we live in eternity now. Another biggie was the importance of where we are seated on the mercy seat. I was shocked that everybody didn't realize that that's what a conversion was, is that you left time and space and are seated on the mercy seat. The one that I thought would be the biggest really didn't turn out to be when you say it to somebody, and that's that every man is the Antichrist. That we have set ourselves up in the temple of God, proclaiming or showing ourselves that we are God. We do that by judging for ourselves good and evil. The other thing is dispensationalism, which has to do with time. I couldn't believe that every denomination had an idea of God acting differently in different periods of time. And it just shocked me that this whole idea of, I mean, it was like God was, in fact, there's some places that teach it, that God of the Old Testament was wrathful God, but the God of the New Testament is sloppy agape. The other thing that I thought everybody knew was that the purpose of the law was to shut you up, to shut up your mouth, and the mouth is in your mind. Not to give you other weapons to beat up other people.
Or to learn how to become a Christian.
Yeah. But the other thing is that whether someone is saved or not is never our business. Everybody runs around, well, are you saved? The other one was that the idea of accepting Jesus as your personal Savior was nowhere in the Scriptures. And so each of these and many other points were, you know, when we first started, it was violent because it was like something, you know, I'm sure there are many other places around the world that it's the same thing is taught, but for us as a group, it was a huge deal that all of these issues would be, you know, and I knew that it would be the last thing in the universe I ever wanted to do was be a Bible study teacher. I wanted to stay on the radio and just throw, as I said before, throw grenades out in the audience and then go back to my cave. Now I sort of still do that now. I go back to my cave. Josanna runs everything. Pete runs everything.
Did you ever get over your shock?
No. But I wrote them down, so let me read them instead of trying to remember them. The other one was the difference between between love as a verb and love as a noun. You know, the idea that the love as a verb, like in as love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your might, that means give breath only to Him. And so how could anybody ever get involved in Christian politics, sir? I mean, it's just goofy. What else do we have here? Oh yeah, that everything in the Bible, I mean the Old Testament, the law, the writings, and the prophets all testified only of Jesus. And the four Gospels were the fulfillment. And then the letters were the expression of that fulfillment in His people. And then the book of Revelation was over all of time and space. Now to me, none of these things are negotiable. They're what the Bible is. You can sit right there.
I might not want to sit right here.
It's right. I was just going to say.
Right in the line of fire here. Gear.
Yeah. My shield.
My shield.
Gary loves you right where you are.
Well, you better take Harry's seat.
My shield.
Ew!
Yeah,
that's
all right.
I'll stay where I am. I'll take
CC.
Here's Harry's substitute.
The other biggie was that of the meaning of repentance. But the idea that repentance meant you're sorry you did something, that's the repentance of the world. Meaning of repentance is that you leave all of you behind. The other thing that I was shocked that nobody knew or everybody didn't know was the idea that the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering. The trespass offering is for the screw-ups that you do. The sin offering is for what you are. And until a sin offering is apprehended, you can't progress even into the mystery at all. You just sort of dance around in the sidelines. Another big one was the two meanings of the word deny. The idea that you would deny yourself means 100% abandonment, not taking any thought for yourself, of, about, or for yourself, or yours. And the other, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. That literally means to build a dam. So you deny Him. You don't deny Him by saying He doesn't exist. You deny Him by saying you exist. And these, each one of these issues was huge because we've all had a cultural overlay of Christianity. Fortunately, I didn't, But you know, the people like Mr. Buckner and Mr. Rutledge and others that grew up in a church or went to church all the time. Well, you certainly learned it fast.
Intuitive.
Do what?
Intuitive.
Yeah. Let's go push some energy into it.
That's wrong.
I'm so glad you know my history.
when I used to be invited to speak a lot of time when I was on radio, especially, you heard me talk about this before, but the people would come up to me and, "Can you say Jesus is Lord?" And so I'd say, "Jesus is Lord," and then everything was fine. But the idea of to say Jesus is Lord, no man speaking except by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is Lord. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean mouthing those words. It means that you've been perfected, you're finished, everything is perfect. He's in complete control. So it is a huge thing to say Jesus is Lord. The biggie was the kingdom of God is in you, it's in earth, not on earth. The kingdom of God will never be on earth, because the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The other thing, that every single thing that happens in time and space has to happen with regard with the God created it with a word. There nothing can in it cannot be can, everything in it has to be of Him, including Satan. Satan is the ha-satan, the opposer. So the other, I was shocked that everybody believed the comic book theology, the talking snake and the little devil that was tempting Jesus.
Holy, I think you may have to start giving final exams every year.
Before Passover. But the most important one that I had no idea that people didn't know was that you've been perfected by one offering forever. And that's the fact that we don't know that is the source of all of our angst.
What does it mean?
Exactly what it says. You've been perfected by one offering. You're exactly as you should be, and everything that goes on is exactly as it should go on. But the real you is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're just the broken vessel that carries Him around. The other biggie is that all of our attempts to be good, to be nice, to be successful, when in truth we're simply trying to make ourselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, which is the God of this world. So all of the things that we do to make ourselves in our mind better, all the subtle thing that's happening to try to make you acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. And that's what we study at Pentecost. But for most people now that are here, or that have heard this, all this stuff is you know, it's sort of the ambient culture, as we talked about last night. None of the kids are shocked by any of this that grew up here, because they may not seem religious, but as I said last night, they're fine. They're so the bottom line in all of this is that without us knowing it, without us in many ways even being aware of it, and without us having any physical evidence that it's true, God has been doing a work that is mind-blowing. And so therefore we can, this time, this Passover, we can truly eat it at rest. And eat the Passover meal as a celebration of an accomplished fact, not something to get away from something. Anyway, does anybody have any thoughts or responses?
Yeah, that's an amazing body of knowledge that all just says one thing. It's all about who he is, but it's different ways of seeing his perfection. And it's amazing to hear the list.
There's a bunch more, but...
And be familiar with every one of them.
One of my favorites is what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain. To call yourself a Christian is to take the name of the Lord in vain. To think you're going to a house of God is to take the name of the Lord in vain. As I used to say, can you imagine the Saul of Tarsus Evangelistic Association or Simon Peter's University or... But it's these things are cultural now, and so that people just do it. Can you imagine what would happen if I decided to form the Ole Anthony Evangelistic Association? I mean, you'd kill me or run me out of town. Or...
Well, you'd be a member of one.
Might be more successful than what we're doing now.
Study your ass off.
Now, well,
all the shit you want.
The greatest enemy of the other, another one is the greatest enemy of mercy and grace is cause and effect. And if I do this, this will happen. So the greatest enemy of the mystery of God in his people is to tell somebody what to do. You know, I had a first fruit meeting with Angie and Brian, and it was really neat. It was this total understanding at a level that was even beyond words that both of them had. And the fact that they knew that they had an inheritance. They knew that they possessed it. And so they dwell in it when they feel like it. And so all they're doing now is going around in the world and finding out, well, there's no there. You know, I don't want to do that anymore. And that's incredible. You can't force that on somebody. What?
Well, I just thinking about sometimes in Bible study while I'm talking, I see Angie over there listening, you know, and I never quite know what's going on because she doesn't really respond too much. But it amazed me to see that.
Yeah, we had a lot to say about you.
You continue this campaign to undermine you.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it was all good. It really was all good.
Really, you never get slapped.
Really, now, you wouldn't play to watch.
Despite all
this,
I made bad.
It's
good.
Yeah, this list you're reading, I have that list.
Don't start.
In front of my Bible. But the reason it's there is because every one of those things was, you know, things had to be pulverized.
Pulverized.
You know what pulverized is?
It's like, you know, shattered and then pounded into little tinier pieces.
Oh, my God, we got it.
But, you know, but I don't ever look at that list anymore, but I did for a while. It was like, you know, just sort of a wonderment, you know, And now it's like you said, it's, you know, when it becomes the baseline of everything, then it's just like it's part of the air.
was laughing when we were talking about the God loves you thing. It's like, I remember where I was when John Kennedy got shot. I also remember where I was when I first heard that. Right where I was standing, it was like, that was a big deal. You mean God, the whole basis of Christianity is God loves you.
When I had the radio show, I had all these guests on, and they were all, a lot of them were leaders of the church, and I would say, God loves everybody, right? God loves the world. And, oh yeah, praise God, brother. And I'd say, well, does he not love those 25,000 children that died of starvation and named the country? He doesn't love all those people that tsunami just wiped out. Oh no, that's not God, that's Satan. Then that means that you're in your mind that Satan is more powerful than God. Anyway, we'd go on and on. And by the time this guy Morris Sheets, who was I was really hard on.
I remember Morris Sheets.
And he told the producer that the show should be called Perspiration and White Knuckles. But it's just goofy. I mean, you know, and it's a lie, and oh yeah, the biggie is that in the verb tense, the Great Commission isn't a command. Everybody thinks it's the command of Jesus to go and every blah, blah. No, it's not. It's in the aorist tense. It means as you go.
Hey, Ollie. I remember Mike and I, by 2000 or 2001, when we first came here, 1997 or something, I came back.
1964.
No. But when I heard this for the first time, I don't know if you remember that, Mike. I mean, it was like a current bomb blowing off at me, because I couldn't even comprehend what you were saying, but I knew there was some truth to it.
You know. Hope?
Huh?
Or you, maybe, I'm not sure. Most people want it.
Your mind is the Antichrist, and that God does, you know, the human race deal. It's mind-blowing.
But it's... That's why I've said so often that, you know, I didn't think anybody would ever listen.
You know, these things don't tickle the ears. It's like, the whole God love you thing, that's an ear tickler of the highest sort. Everybody wants to hear that. That's what the good news is to most people. And then to have that.
And that's another thing, the good news. There's not one place where it says the gospel of man. It's good news to God. It's the gospel of God or the gospel of the kingdom. It's not good news to man. It's the worst news you've ever heard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But this crap, oh, listen to the good news. Well, it's not good news until you come to the end of yourself. Oh, no, it's good news. Well, then you have to prostitute the message to make it good news to man. You have to, oh, God wants you to be successful, and God wants you to have a nice family, and God wants you to have happy kids, and blah, 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 blah. And it's just goofy, and the world knows it's goofy. The only people who believe it are goofy. I'm tired of talking. I probably talk too much.
If these were just things that, you know, if this was just your perspective, you know, things that shocked you, it wouldn't be that interesting. But it's witnessed by the scriptures and by our...
Okay, yeah.
By the church and by Oswald Chambers.
Weren't you a little bit shocked, though, when these things were revealed to you?
No, I wasn't shocked. I hated it because it meant the end of my career. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't shocked. I just...
Well, the way you're putting it, it sounds like, you know, you alone and the whole people in the universe...
No.
...not shocked by the fact that...
No. I hated it.
Sure,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But did you secretly look forward to telling us?
Yes, because I secretly enjoy making people mad at me. Anybody else? John? You'll have something to say to me later. Mike?
I think it's taken about 10 years or 12 years to really believe it, for me anyway. I think I knew it was true, but I really didn't seriously consider it for whatever reason.
It'd be like waiting, go out for a pack of cigarettes and come back 8 years later.
Is that really what you did?
Devo.
Really did.
That's really what I did. Devo jumps.
What the fuck is this?
More or less.
More or less.
More or less.
Pack it up.
Okay. But you know, when you seriously consider things that you went through and you put them together with everything else, the unlearning, and it all comes together.
The anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you.
Amen.
The only thing I can do is be a witness to something you already know.
I'm not even for sure that the public, the non-believing public, really believe that God loves them.
Of course they don't. No, you've got, you know, that's why this of all the population groups in America, televangelists are third from the bottom. They beat out only drug lords and madams.
Respect.
That's
what
they still call them, madams.
Well, but the Peter said, because of them, go to 2 Peter real quick, if you got your Bible.
Yeah, that's a good quote you threw into that letter that was germane.
Chapter 2, 2 Peter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and to bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Of course, everybody applies that to me, but... Anyhow, it just seemed Passover such an event for us and for the world, for everybody, for God, that it seemed appropriate to sort of review some of this stuff. This will be our 32nd Passover.
Yeah, hearing about Gus and them up there doing it and the other group. I was talking to Scott and Michael the other day, Michael Carlson. It's like there's all these people around, even though they're not here for Passover, in the spirit, they're with us. You know, because they know what's going on and they know what's happening. It's just a wild concept.
Yeah,
it's happening. No space and time involved. It's one thing.
No.
Yeah, I love you.
I've read this before with Becca here, so this is a letter from Becca.
From Becca.
For those in the audience, that's one of the kids that grew up here. I would like to thank you, the community, for the love and guidance I have grown up with. Thank you for allowing me to be me and giving me a place to be myself. Without pretense or forethought, afterthought, or thought at all. The gift of a community is more than I can comprehend, but I can see by the lives of others in comparison to ours. The need to take no thought for tomorrow gives a freedom unimaginable, and I'm grateful. Without every member of the community, a community wouldn't be possible. So every member, new or old, has and is a part of my life. I see people at school and my work who are filled with hate and dislike for others, which I see as useless and wasteful because of our way of life. You have given me an effort-free environment where I am enough for you. There are no standards or goals I feel I must meet. I have learned to take no thought for myself, which lifts the dissatisfaction I know would be there. The world and what that entails seems as something, while makes sense, thank you, Father. Take it, big guy. Glenn is coming.